Today we are beginning a new series called Blessed. We're talking about blessing. We're trying to understand what true biblical blessing is. What does it mean to be blessed? How do we steward God's blessings? And here's my heart for us. My heart is for each and every one of you that is here that calls Chapel Hill home to walk in the blessing that God has for you individually. And you'll see in a moment that's far beyond. I know a lot of times the word blessing, we immediately think of material things or we think of our bank account, but it's so much deeper than that. Yeah. My heart is for you to walk in God's blessing. The word blessing has to do with a fullness, this fullness of joy that we find in Jesus. My heart is that your family walks in blessing. And my heart is that our church, together as an integral part of this community, walks in blessing. And so the Bible is full of blessing from God to his people as we walk in his ways. And I want to take a moment and look at this passage in Deuteronomy 28. And every time you see the word blessed or blessing, would you say it out loud with me? Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Here's what it says starting in verse 1. It says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world." Verse 2, "You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter you in seven." Can I make a note here? The life of blessing doesn't mean you will never be under attack. But God's promise to you, as you walk in his ways, as you walk in his blessing, you're going to come up against difficulty. You're going to come up against obstacles, but he says they can't defeat you. They're going to come at you as one in one direction. You're going to think, there's no way I'm going to get through this. But God, I'm in your blessing. I'm in your ways. You're leading me. And he says he will send them scattering in seven directions. Verse 8, "The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you." Can we celebrate God's desire to bless us, for us to walk in blessing? Look at this, Psalm 84, verse 4. You don't have to say it anymore. You're welcome to if you want, but you might be the only one. Psalm 84, 4 says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." There's blessing when we gather together, when we belong in God's house together. Psalm 94, 12 says this, "Blessed is the one you discipline." How many of you love to be disciplined? Not many of us. And the Bible actually says to us that discipline at the time is never pleasant. It's never fun. None of us like getting sat down or having a conversation and having to hear what we did wrong. But if those things don't happen, we never get better. Discipline and disciple go hand in hand. And the scripture tells us, blessed is the one that God disciplines, the one he teaches from his law, from his word, from his ways. And so we're blessed when we receive God's discipline. Here's the last one. Proverbs chapter 22, 9 says this, "The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor." It's not this idea that if you really want to be blessed, you just got to hold everything you get. No, God says, listen, you live this way, I'll pour it in, you pour it out, and I'll make sure you're taken care of, and we'll live in this flow of blessing as you live in generosity toward others and toward me. But remember, we have to be careful not to assume that all blessing has to do with material things. I would honestly say that the best of blessed... Somebody say that with me. The best of blessed starts inside, because we know and we've seen time and time again that people can have and have and have, but be so bankrupt in their souls and in their hearts, and they're purchasing and obtaining and going after, trying to chase something they can't ever seem to get. And it's a wholeness and a fullness of blessing that God brings. So we find the Apostle Paul starting to teach on this idea of blessing, and this is what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And he goes on to name other things. Here, let me give you a few. I am blessed because my sins are not counted against me. I lived a life apart from Christ, and I still make mistakes, but I say, "Jesus, I'm yours, and I'm covered under him. I'm blessed because he doesn't count my sins against me. I am blessed because I have peace with God. The scripture tells me he calls me friend. I am blessed today because death has no victory over me. I am blessed today because I have the mind of Christ. I am blessed today because scripture tells me that God is able to make all grace abound to me so that all times in all things I have everything I need to do everything he's called me to do. I am blessed because guess what? I don't have a spirit in me that produces or leads me into fear, but instead it's the Holy Spirit, and the scripture says it gives me power, love, and a sound mind. I am blessed today because I have been crucified with Christ, and I am dead to my old ways. I'm alive to everything that God has for me. I am blessed today because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am blessed today because God has done such a work in me that he's helped me to love what he loves and to hate what he hates. God has done a work in me, and I'm blessed today, even though it's not easy, even though I come face to face with myself sometimes, but he's done a work in me that I can bless those who desire to harm me. I can pray for my enemies and bless those who persecute me because that's what Jesus told me to do. I am blessed today because he's put words in my mouth that the people that hear them are built up and not torn down. I am blessed today because every motion of God toward me and toward you is for your good. I am blessed today with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Does anyone else in here feel blessed today by the fullness of what God's doing in you? See, these blessings, they translate to every person in every country, in every economy, through all time. Because if we bank all of our blessing on what we have, it's as if we say, well, people in a third world country who have found Jesus and have what they need taken care of, not a whole lot of what they want, it's as if we say, well, they're not blessed. Can we thank God for the things that we have? Yes. Can we consider the abundance that we live in America blessing? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. But we have to be careful not to equate that those that don't live here or don't have what we have cannot walk in blessing. No, sometimes they walk in greater blessing because they're not all blinded by the material blessing we have to fight against. They don't fight a lot of the wars that we fight in that way. But today, I want to talk for just a few moments about a special blessing that I believe God has for us as we walk in this area that the Bible calls the tithe. If you've never been, or you haven't been around church for very long, a couple times a year, once or twice a year, we teach on this idea of the tithe. It's a blessing that promises God will provide for what we need as we walk in generosity toward him. Not that things won't ever be difficult, not that we ever won't say, oh man, it doesn't look like there's going to be enough. Not that we won't ever have a fear inside of us, but that we can say, but God, I've got this fear. I've got this way that I feel. It looks impossible. It looks too hard, but I'm going to trust you and take you at your word and walk in your ways and watch you come through for me. The blessing of the tithe. If you've never heard or been taught about the tithe simply means a tenth or 10%. And so, giving starts very early in the Bible. we see after Adam and Eve have sinned and fallen, and the world kind of comes under this curse of sin. They have children. They have two boys, Cain and Abel, and both of them brought an offering to God. And there's a lot that kind of goes on there in a very small amount of what we get to the story. But basically, Abel brings an offering that pleases God, and Cain brings an offering from what we assume. It's just kind of what was left over. It wasn't much. Abel comes with this heart full of worship, and we kind of get a picture into it, because afterward God says, Cain, listen, just bring me what you're supposed to bring and everything will be good. Sin is knocking at your door. There's obviously something going on inside Cain, because he turns around and murders his brother. And so giving starts very early in the Bible. We see in Genesis chapter 14, there's a story where a man named Abram has this great victory, and he encounters this priest. And Abram, out of this overflow of what God has done for him, says, I want to give a tenth of what I have to God. And he says, God, because you've taken care of me, God, because you've gone before me, everything I have, God, is yours. And so I want to overflow with generosity and thanksgiving and trust to you that in letting this go, I'm going to bless you and you're going to take care of me. And so we see that happen. And then we have one here for you in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. This is what it says. It says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy. It is holy. That word holy means set apart, different from the rest. And so God's saying there is a tenth, a tithe that is set apart, that is for me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Here's the thing about the tithe. The tithe predates the law. It came before the law was ever given. And then it's given in the law. And then Jesus refers to it in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And then we find the Apostle Paul teaching the early church proportional giving. The tithe is proportional giving. It's different for everybody, but it's the same. Does that make sense? If you make $10, a tithe is $1. If you make $100, a tithe is $10. So it's different, but it's the same in proportion. If you make $1,000, a tithe is $100. And I know as we begin to talk about money, I love it, especially on the day we have guests in the house, because I used to work with people at times, you know, between different things as God was leading me in my younger years. I used to work with people, and they would say, man, every time I go to church, they just talk about money. That's why I don't go to church, because all they want is my money. I guarantee you, our heart is we don't want your money. And I'll talk about it later. We're not here to manipulate you. We're here to lead God's people into maturity. And we believe God has a blessing for you, a blessing for others, and a blessing for our community. What God has for our future largely depends on the people of God that are here now catching the vision and the heart of God and saying, I want to be a part. And then God can lead us into being greater effective, into greater effectiveness in our communities. Listen, I have some people that are going to help me just real quick kind of illustrate this. So if you're here to help me today, they're already selected. So don't be like, I think I'm here to help and I'm going to run. If y'all run up real quick and help me, we're going to show this idea of the tithe to you. Give it up for these wonderful people. Everybody's like, wait, why are they leaving? They were going to help me. Yeah, they know what they're doing. We want to take a moment and kind of illustrate this idea of the tithe for you. As God asks us to bring him 10%. Maybe they really did leave. No, there we go. Give it up for Caitlin. Okay. So wonderful. Here we go. Obviously, there's something wrong with this watermelon. One person said I should just rip it in half and be really cool. My son actually dropped this last night as we were bringing. You guys can go ahead and bring it on out. Bring it on out. Go ahead and start setting it here. God asks for one. We're going to bring 10 watermelons out here. I think these are called winter melons. They're a little bit shorter. He actually broke it, and I got really frustrated. And then I took a second. I stepped back. I said, you know what, buddy? I'll use this to teach him. He was like, what are you going to teach? I said, here's what I'll teach. I'll teach, this isn't the one we bring to God. Okay? God says, bring our first, bring our best. We don't bring the broken one to him. We don't bring the shattered one. God asked for one. We got 10 watermelons. God asked for one. You keep the 90. Great here. We've got some cauliflower. Anybody love cauliflower? You guys go ahead and start filling the table up. You're good. Has anyone ever tried to make buffalo, like the thing they say basically they're buffalo wings, but they're cauliflower? Anybody ever done that? Wave your hand at me. Okay, yeah, I know it sounds weird, but supposedly you're supposed to be able to make buffalo cauliflower and it's like wings. It's a lie. But God asked for one, and we get 10. Okay, we got lemons here. Anybody know what God does with lemons? He makes lemonade. That's it. So God asks for one bag of lemons. He lets us keep 9 bags of lemons. He just asks for the one. Do you see something, a pattern happening here between these tables? Okay, we got broccoli. Second thought, God doesn't like broccoli. Y'all can keep the broccoli. I'm just kidding. And so we've got one thing of broccoli here. We've got one. God lets us keep 9. God lets us keep 9. We bring our first and we bring our best. We bring one. God lets us keep 9. It's the principle of the tithe. Celery. Thank you so much. I really thought... I'm not going to eat it. That would be the... Well, actually... It's not good. You're supposed to wash it first. Anybody like peanut butter on your celery? I thought about bringing a video I have of my daughter, my 3-year-old daughter. She's so cute. It's the best. She like holds it and she sits and eats it. You guys don't really care because it's my daughter. So then we got bananas here. Bananas... Actually, those aren't the bananas I would choose at the store. So we bring God what? Our first and our best. If somebody backstage said, I really want to eat a banana, I said, listen, that's fine. You can eat from the 90. Okay? But the 10% comes to God. We got 10 things of banana. God asks for one of them. And we have a table that's beginning to overflow. Okay, now we take a trip to Hawaii. Get a little tropical here with the pineapple. And God asks for how many?
One.
Everybody's like, I got it by now, okay? Well, listen, we're going to keep showing you. we get 10. God asks for one. He lets us keep 90. He lets us keep 9 out of the 10. Wonderful. We got apples here. You guys just keep bringing it out. Just let the table overflow. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. That's not true. Please have health insurance. It's required or you'll get taxed. You might know. Yeah, right. Okay, so God asked for apples. There it is. He asked for one bag of apples. We get to keep 9. Oranges. They're not really oranges. What are they? Cuties, halos, clementines, nobody knows, okay? California mandarins. Mandarin orange, is that what it is? Okay, we get one. God gets one. You get 9, okay? It's a big difference, big difference. Last but not least, or actually maybe it is least. Anybody like the butternut squash? That's what that is, right? Butternut squash. Just set them down. Look at this, everybody. Look at it. It changes our perspective a little bit. Because if you're anything like me, sometimes you've looked at this and we fail sometimes to look at this. Sometimes we focus so much on this, and listen, here's the truth. This isn't always a small thing. I know there are people in here, you're running the math in your mind. Maybe you haven't stepped into the tithe. Maybe you're in the tithe and you know the math. And this can really be a sacrifice at times. Because sometimes if you remove this from this, there still you feel like isn't enough of this to go toward the things that you have to give it toward. But here's what we want to tell you today. Here's one simple truth. One simple truth. If I will give God my first and my best, he will bless the rest. Because this table is the 90% you get to keep before God even blesses it. Do you understand that? You removed 10% and you put it over here. You're left with 90%. But God can do even more when he begins to bless this because of that. Oftentimes making it appear, I'm telling you, it is a strange and miraculous and wonderful thing that you don't think there's any way I can do it with this if I give this. But God says, trust me. Give it to me and trust. And God, in the most incredible ways, makes this 90 go way farther than you could have ever made the whole 100 without his hands involved in it. The act or the discipline of tithing teaches us that God does more with 90 than we could ever do with 100 by ourselves. When we return the 10th back to him, he blesses the 90. And like I said, we have no interest in manipulating anyone into giving, but I have a deep desire to mature us into giving. And it's the same desire Paul carried for the churches. You don't have it on the screen, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, here's what Paul tells the people. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, we read it during offering, will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And it's as if Paul knew what would be going through their minds, but because before they could feel pressured to give out of their guilt, here's what Paul says. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. So he says to the people, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give generously, you reap generously. But hold on, give what you've decided in your heart to give. Because I'm not here to manipulate you. I'm here to mature you. And as you take steps with God, I know he's going to bless the steps you take.
Yes, that's good.
And as we give out of worship and gratitude and thanksgiving, Paul then follows up and said, and God is able. Somebody say, God is able. He's able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That is his micro teaching on giving. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. But hold on, give what you've decided to give in your heart. But trust in this, that God can make grace abound to you and bless you so you have everything that you need. And so my heart today is that if we get at the end of our time together and you feel guilted or pressured into taking a step toward the tithe, my heart is that you don't. But if you feel led to take a step with God, my heart is that you do. My prayer is that we end today with the heart of I want to give, realizing how much God has already blessed us with. And it's not that we remove this from him. It's we remove that for him, to him, and we'll talk about what this does in just a moment as we move toward our close, but this belongs to him as well. And we begin to say, God, how do you want me to manage and steward this? And I believe that as God leads us to do that, we can step into this place. And the heart is that every month you're not like, like writing your tithe check or sending it online like, I don't know. That may happen sometimes. But the heart is that God can lead us in how to manage this to where that's not necessarily how we have to feel. And so today I want to give you really quickly three things that the tithe does. Number one, the tithe provides for God's work through his church. The tithe provides for God's work through his church. We say in Growth Track one day that's happening next Sunday when we talk about giving for a moment, we say this simple distinction. You're not giving to the church. You're giving to God through the church.
Yeah.
And it's a little heart thing, because if you always feel like I'm giving this to Pastor Matthew, that's not what I want you to feel. I want you to feel, God, I'm returning this to you so that the work of your church can be done. I don't know about you, but the church has been an incredible blessing in my life. I was a teenager going nowhere really fast, and a youth pastor stepped into my life and began to pull me in close and began to encourage me and lead me. And God came into my life and transformed me. And I never wanted to be away from the church. We have teenagers here that any chance they can get, teenagers like Joey and Madison, all you guys sitting here on the front row and on the back row right there on the second row, not the back row, it's the second row. and so they're here. Anytime the doors are open because they want to be a part because God's doing something and they love being a part of his church. And maybe you're in here today and the church has been an incredible benefit to you. The local church is where we hear the message of the gospel, where we're pushed out of our comfort zone sometimes. We're challenged and we're led into God's ways. The church is where you and your family find community and belonging and you begin to move forward in God's calling for you. The church is where we do more together than we could ever do apart and we begin to bless our community and we support places like the Blake House and the Pregnancy Resource Center and the Community Christian Council who's feeding people twice a week, hot meals and giving groceries and doing all kinds of other work, and we're able to be a blessing to our community. It's where we're together. And God has always had a plan to fund his church. And it's not primarily through bake sales. And it's not primarily through GoFundMe pages. It's primarily through the hearts of God's people who've said, look at all you've done for me, and God, I just want to return to you what is yours, and God, I'm trusting you'll bless the rest, and that you'll use this to lead people into what I've been a great benefactor of. Here's the second thing. The tithe teaches me to put God first. The tithe teaches me to put God first. Let me show you four things we tend to believe about money, and I think God understood what would happen in our hearts. And so he calls us in a way to combat this idea of what money can do for us and what money can promise us by challenging us to let go. Here are four things we tend to believe that money can do for us. That money promises security. If I have more, I'll be secure. Here's the second thing. Money promises freedom. Money promises freedom. If I have more, I can be free. Number three, money promises power. If I have enough, I can be powerful. Number four, money promises significance. If I have more, if I have enough, I can be important. And you can draw your significance and who you are from what you have. And here's the thing. It's not that any of these things don't come through money. It's not that if you have more in your savings, you feel more secure. And I think that that's a wise thing in stewardship. So if my tire blows up, I'm not in panic because I've set some aside to pay for it. But promise is the key word here. That money promises security, promises freedom, promises power, promises significance. Money can provide some of these things, but money comes and money goes. And when it's gone, and when we're gone, we don't take it with us. And this is why Jesus says to us in Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. You can serve God and use money and steward it the way that he's intended, but he's saying you can't serve and give your devotion and pursue with your life after money and me. Money promises, but it can't make good on its promise. But God promises and fulfills. God promises and fulfills to hold you securely. So that maybe when something happens and something crashes, you say, God, I trust you with what I have. And I know you'll always take care of what I need. God promises and fulfills to lead you into greater freedom that money cannot purchase you. We established that at the beginning. He promises and fulfills to give you a power that's about humility and about serving other people and not lording your position over people. Money is influence for good in other people. And lastly, God promises and fulfills his promise to give you significance in his eyes, so you're free from having to find it from other people and feel like, well, I gotta look this way, I gotta drive this, I gotta live here, that way I can feel like people think I'm significant. No, God can restore to you an identity that isn't based on any of those things, and you can walk freely in who he's created you to be. And being able to release the tithe to show that money doesn't rule us is a powerful step in putting God first. And here's the last thing as we close. The tithe increases my faith in God. The tithe increases my faith in God. Here's the truth. There's no increase without testing. There's no increase in any area of our lives without testing, without resistance, without difficulty. It's interesting, you know, Bible numbers have a special place in the Bible. Numbers mean a lot of things at times. We see throughout the Bible the number 7 seems to equal this number of perfection. We see one less, that the number 6 typically equals the number of man. Many of you may know the number 666. Listen, if I got a lunch bill that's $6.66, I'm going to ask them, would you please round it up? But 10 in the Bible is often this picture of testing. When God tested us for obedience, how many commands did he give us? The 10 commandments. When God tested Pharaoh's heart leading the people out of Egypt, it's Bible quiz time, how many plagues did he send toward Egypt? He sent 10. In the New Testament, there's this story that Jesus tells about these women who have made themselves ready and waiting on their bridegroom. They are us. The bridegroom is Christ, and it's this picture of waiting. And he says there are 10 of them, 10 of them waiting, remaining faithful for him to come back. There's a story, we talked about it in the prayer service this past week, about these lepers that cried out to Jesus and he healed them. How many of them were there? There were 10. He would test them to see who would come back and give gratitude. And maybe you look at the tithe number and you feel like, that's just impossible for me. There's no way that I can do that. It's too big of a number. You're not crazy. You're not sinful. You're not wrong. Here's the challenge to tithing. The challenge is not to look at what we could do with the extra 10, but to believe what God can do with the 90. The challenge in tithing is to make it first, to bring the first and to bring the best. Because a lot of times, if we don't bring it first, somehow it ends up remaining over here and then it gets eaten. If it's in my pantry, it's getting eaten. And so God says, bring it first. Because that's also a step of faith, trusting that it's not when I'm done with all this over here do I see, is there anything left? But trusting when I bring it first, I'm saying, God, I know what you've left for me. You can bless and you can use. The challenge in tithing is making room. Making the room, seeing if I'm going to step out into this next place God has for me. Maybe you're sitting down with your spouse, or if you're single, you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, I'm going to step into this thing, but that means I'm going to have to make some room. I'm going to have to make some changes. That's a challenge in tithing. But here's the answer. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, the support of the church. Then God says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see. Test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. It's the test of blessed. It is the one place in Scripture that God says, test me, because he understands it's a difficult thing for us. And he says, okay, I know it seems difficult, but test me. See if I won't. That's what bullies say. See if I won't. God's saying it in a great way. Test me. See if I won't bless it. See if I won't provide. See if I won't come through. See if I won't help you make room. I'm telling you, if you sit with God and you say, I want to give you that, I want to live on this, and I want to see God, is there anything you want me to give toward kingdom builders? When you begin to do that, God is so pleased and so excited to say, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to show you how to take this and make it way more than you could have ever made all of this together. As you begin to walk in his ways. And listen, today, if you're in here and you're feeling, I want to take that step. There's even a card you could see in the packet that was on your seat that came in called the 3-month tithe challenge. And you're welcome to read over that. Here's basically what it says. Because we believe in the faithfulness of our God. We believe in the principle of the tithe. That if you're saying, I don't know, the 3-month tithe challenge is this. Trust God for 3 months and bring the tithe every single paycheck. And if in 3 months you're saying, no, he didn't show up. No, it's terrible. I don't think it's for me. We'll give you the money back. I know some people are like, well, that's not very godly. Listen, we're just trying to help people take steps. And we're so confident that if you begin to move in that way, because God says, test me, see if I won't. That we're saying, test him and see if he won't. But maybe you're in here today and you've been tithing for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. You've been tithing for 1 year. Maybe over that course, you haven't been super consistent, but you're saying, I'm committed to the tithe. Or you're in here today and you're saying, I'm going to commit to the tithe. Next week, remember, month ends on the 28th. There's no 30th. If you get paid 15th and the 30th, it just means you don't get paid this week. I'm just kidding. You'll get it. But you're saying, listen, the next paycheck, I'm going to bring the tithe. We just want to know who in our church is saying, that's me. It's not sharing information, but if you would, you could text the word blessed to 484848. We just want to know who in our church at all 4 locations is saying, I'm going to begin to move in this area of the tithe, and I'm going to watch God come through on my behalf. Listen, here's the last thing. When it comes to giving, we're just moving in what God has already displayed for us. That God himself is the greatest giver and gave first and gave his best. Here's what Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, that God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And before you step into any of this, our heart is first and foremost that you step into a relationship with Jesus. So maybe you're in here today and you're saying, man, that sounds awesome, but I don't even have a relationship with Jesus yet. We want to give you that opportunity today to say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. I'm going to go all in with him. I'm not just giving him a tenth of me. I'm giving him everything. And so if you're in here today, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? If you're in here today and you're saying, that's me, I want to take a step and follow Jesus today. Jesus came and became the sacrifice for your sin and my sin. Something that we should have paid, that we should have had to deal with. But he said, no, I'm going to come and I'm going to pay the price for you. And all you have to do is enter into relationship with me. Begin to walk with me. I'll forgive you of your sin and I'll lead you into life. So he came and he lived and we killed him. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he was the Son of God and offering us salvation. If you're in here today and you're saying, that's me, I want to follow the Lord today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just raise your hand so we know who we're praying with today. That's me, I want to follow Jesus. Amen, amen. Listen, I'm going to ask everybody in here to pray this with me along with those that are making a decision. It's just a wonderful thing to renew even in ourselves. Would you say this with me? Say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I believe in you. You died for me. You died for my sin. And you rose from the dead. And today, I want to follow you with everything that I am and everything that I have. Fill me with life and lead me in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate with those that made a decision to follow the Lord today, church? Thank you.